just because being here, it's great to play music that you would not otherwise hear in Canada. So I'm going to play a fair bit of Australian Aboriginal music, talk to you about some contemporary issues occurring in Australia with Indigenous peoples, and I'm going to be playing some really fascinating interviews I recorded here locally. Firstly, I'm going to play the second part of my interview with the Red Soul Blues, who are a local Indigenous musical group. And a very special treat, I interviewed Rose Henry, who is an extraordinary activist from Victoria, BC, and she was in town recently. And I had a chat with her about the incredible activist work that she does, and she has a lot to fill us in on contemporary issues relating to Canadian Indigenous people. So let's get into the music. First up, we have a familiar band I have played on the show. Actually, I'm going to play, you know, some real go-to bands as far as Australian contemporary Indigenous music goes. I've played all of these groups before, maybe not all in one place. So I'm gonna play for you some Yothu Yindi, some Archie Roach and Ruby Hunter, the Wurrumpi Band. And there's a brand new artist I'm going to play for you called Benny Walker. So he's coming up later on. But let's get into some standard, great, you know, contemporary Australian Aboriginal music. And of course, Yothu Yindi is definitely the most commercially successful Indigenous group that has come out of Australia. The band, the name Yothu Yindi translates to mother and child in the native tongue of the Yolngu people. So the central figure of the band was Mundawe Yunupingu. He was actually a school teacher, and he ended up forming this band, Yothu Yindi, and they played at a lot of cultural events in Australia and internationally, and there was this a seminal tour where they played alongside Midnight Oil in 1988. That was a pretty big deal at the time. And they put out a few albums. This one, Freedom, I'm going to play you three tracks from it, just because it's the only one here in the studio of CITR. So I'm going to play three tracks from the album Freedom, which came out in 1994. So first up is the track, which is called World Turning. Then I'm going to play for you Mabo and Dots on the Shell. So to start out the celebration for National Indigenous Day here in Canada, I'm going to play for you some Australian Aboriginal music. This is Yothu Yindi from 1994. Thanks for tuning in.
Signal. G.O. Sullivan, and you're listening to CITR on 101.9. Thank you for joining us as we celebrate Aboriginal Day this June 21st, 2012.
And the second track I played for you there from Yothagindi was called Mabo. And that's a song about Eddie Mabo, who has gone down as being a courageous hero for the land rights movement in Australia. So there was a famous court case called Mabo and others versus Queensland, the state of Queensland. So Eddie Mabo took some legal action way back in 1982 in response to the Queensland Amendment Act, which established a system for making land grants on trust to Aboriginal people. So the Murray Islanders, where Eddie Mabo was from, the people refused to accept this, and they wanted to claim full rights to their territory. So as the legal process is very long and cumbersome, it wasn't until 1992 that a final decision was brought down, which actually was extraordinarily historic. For the first time, the High Court rejected the doctrine of terra nullius in favour of the common law doctrine of Aboriginal title. So terra nullius was, it's a Latin term, and it's how the British colonisers were able to justify colonising. It essentially means land belonging to no one, terra nullius. So, you know, clearly that was not the case, but it until 1992 for the official statement that that's not correct. So that was an historic case, the Mabo case. Unfortunately, of course, it doesn't necessarily make it easy for Aboriginal people to claim their land. There's a cumbersome legal process that's been set in place, but it still opened the doors to litigation, and there have been some successes, but it's a long, drawn-out process. Anyway, so that's just a little bit of one contemporary issue from Australia. So we are here on CITR 101.9, and stranded here celebrating National Indigenous Day in Canada. So up next, let's play for you some Archie Roach. Archie Roach is a very significant Aboriginal singer-songwriter. I'm going to play for you first up a track called Down City Streets, which was actually written by his partner, Ruby Hunter. About her time living on the streets. They both met when they were both living on the streets. Very, very, very moving music. I'm going to play a couple of your tracks from Archie Roach and then a Ruby Hunter song.
Down city streets, I would roam. I had no bed, I had no home. Crawled out of bushes early morn. Used newspapers to keep me warm. Then I'd have to score a drink. Start me up. Help me to think. Down city streets I would roam. Use my fingers as a comb. In those days when I was young, drinking and fighting was no fun. It was daily living for me. I had no choice. It was meant to be. Down city streets I would go. I had no bed, I had no home. There was nothing that I owned. Used my fingers as a comb. Now I'm a man, I'm not alone. I am married, I have children of my own. Now I have something I call my own. These are my children, and this is my home. I look around and understand how street kids feel when they're put down. Down to the streets I would roam. I have no bed, I have no home. If there was nothing that I children came back.
Vancouver Aboriginal Child and Family Services Society, our mission is to protect and value our children, our future, our responsibility. We are seeking caring people in the Greater Vancouver and Richmond area who are willing to share their homes and provide foster care for Aboriginal children in need. We invite you to join our circle of caring. Contact us at 604-216-7447 with any questions, or if you would like to learn more and talk to a social worker. You can also visit us at vacfss.com.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
Now, while doing some research online, I actually came across this film. Like, this looks unbelievable. There's a film out called Murundak, M-U-R-U-N-D-A-K, Murundak Songs of Freedom. And it's all about, it's basically a documentary film about Australian Indigenous protest singers. So I'll just read you the synopsis. Murundak Songs of Freedom journeys into the heart of Aboriginal protest music following the Black Armband, a gathering of some of Australia's finest Indigenous musicians as they take to the road with their songs of resistance and freedom. From the concert halls of the Sydney Opera House to remote Aboriginal communities of the Northern Territory, Murundak, meaning alive in the Wurrungong language, brings together pioneering singers including Archie Roach, Bart Willoughby and the late Ruby Hunter, and a stellar lineup of emerging Indigenous talent including Dan Sultan, Shelley Morris and Emma Donovan. Wow, like this. So this is the website, www.murundakdocumentary.com, so that's M-U-R-U-N-D-A-K, which talks all about the film. And geez, I hope this gets a release here somehow in this part of the world, in Canada. Some kind of film festival's got to pick this up because it looks really, really cool. So we're talking about First Nations culture of Canada and, first of all, of course, Aboriginal Australia. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian music show. Back into the music. I hope you're ready for a real classic here from the Wurrumpi Band. They formed in 1980. There was George Burawanga on vocals, didgeridoo, Neil Murray on guitar, and Sammy Butcher on bass, Gordon Butcher on drums. And they were a really wonderful Aboriginal rock band. Broke up in 2000. And here's a classic from the Go Bush record. You're going to hear first up Black Fella, White Fella, a real song of solidarity and the joining together of Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people to make sense of the past and go forth in a positive light. Are you the one who's gonna stand up and be counted? Are you the one who's gonna be there when we shout it?
sea and my island home, my island home, my island home is waiting for me.
I'm Gail Sullivan, and you're listening to CITR on 101.9. Thank you for joining us as we celebrate Aboriginal Day this June 21st, 2012.
Bye.
1963, the Vancouver Aboriginal Friendship Centre Society has been meeting the needs of Aboriginal people making the transition to urban Vancouver. The Friendship Centre provides programs in health, welfare, and equality, and has made its goal to help Aboriginal families, youth, adults, elders, and children access health information and education and maintain their Aboriginal cultural ties and values. For more information or to volunteer, visit us at 1607 East Hastings Street or online at www.vacfs.org.
And we are on CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver, BC, and Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show, and a special on National Indigenous Day, which was in Canada yesterday. You heard two tracks there from the Warrupi Band, two absolute classics. First up, Blackfella, Whitefella, and then My Island Home. And following that was the Saltwater Band. What a beautiful song there with the native tongue there on the vocals. You heard a song called Compass from an album called Malik, which came out in 2010. And the Saltwater Band are definitely my pick for one of the most amazing current contemporary Aboriginal acts that is still playing in Australia. Of course, Warrumpi Band, you know, Yothi Indian, no longer with us. Garamul Yunipingu, of course, was a part of the Saltwater Band. Garamul needs very little introduction. I've played him a lot in the show. He is the beautiful voice, singer, songwriter, Aboriginal man who was blind from birth, and he's since become an international sensation. In fact, across the board, it can hardly be said that this intervention has had a positive outcome. We have still escalating levels of unemployment and welfare dependence, child hospitalisation and low school attendance, and most alarmingly, self-harm. It's hard to see how a huge police crackdown and increased numbers without a lot of cultural awareness and understanding is going to create a lot of confidence in Aboriginal communities. If you want to read more about this, you can go to, I found a really good website, crikey.com.au, crikey.com.au, and there's a good article about this written by Professor John Altman from the Australian National University, where he sort of deconstructs what this policy of intervention means and the effect it's had. Yeah, if you go there, go to crikey.com.au, and in the search bar you could type in NT intervention and it should come up. So anyway, let's press on and play some fresh Australian Aboriginal music. So this is by a gentleman named Benny Walker. I'm going to play for you tracks from his EP, which I have in front of me, called Summer Sun. And he's really if you kind of like the Ben Harper, Jack Johnson kind of sound, you should like this. He comes from one of these families with a rich musical history and influenced by Ryan Adams, Neil Young, James Taylor. He's a really interesting chap. I hope you enjoy hearing this. This is some brand new Australian Aboriginal music, and we'll be getting into Canadian Aboriginal music soon. Thank you.
is known.
The TD Vancouver International Jazz Festival and CITR present Jill Barber.
It took me by surprise.
On June 30th, come to Performance Works on Granville Island to hear music that is jazzy and classy, lyrical and dreamy, and of course, that beautiful voice.
Are you angry with me?
For more details and tickets, go to vanjazzfest.ca.
Did I do something wrong?
So we're back on CITR 101.9 FM and Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show, and the special on National Indigenous Day. There are a couple of tracks there from the Benny Walker EP, Summer Sun. He is an Aboriginal artist from Australia, and you can find more information about him at bennywalkermusic.com. Okay, now it's time for an interview with a Canadian artist here in Vancouver, Red Soul Blues, featuring Rose on vocals. I played for you the first part of this interview a couple of weeks back, and this is the second part where Rose talks about what it means to be Aboriginal here in Canada and an Aboriginal artist.
Even the name of the project, you know, Red Soul Blues, well, I have a little thing that I do, you know, in front of the song, and it's like, well, I'm going to try to explain it to you. I will try. But if I have to explain, you may not understand. And so I always say, well, those that got them know it, and those that don't know it. So I don't know really how to put it in so many words. We have a really unique, diverse perspective on life here in Canada, you know, as Indigenous people. If I may share freely on the record, you know, we are the only persons on Earth who are still subject to legislation under an act by virtue of alone by race since 1867. And so this, of course, has placed us at a great socioeconomic disadvantage with the rest of Canada. So, you know, a lot of us are just trying to squeak by, you know, and trying to survive day to day. And, you know, so these issues are important, but we also have to acknowledge, you know, there are people who just struggle to make it day to day. I'm not really that far from that myself, you know, and so I think all of us are going through tough times. But more and more people are becoming aware. I think social networking, the internet, media, people such as yourself coming in and talking, you know, to people from other countries, I think this all is a good thing and, you know, gives us all a voice, because I'm sure there are plenty of people in Australia who have the same social concerns that we do here.
Absolutely, yeah. And I just think a lot about the new media that we have available. I mean, these are rich tools to help bridge the gap a bit, because let's face it, Aboriginal culture has been so underrepresented in the mainstream media. And it's wonderful to see people like yourself and Gunaji who are just boldly doing what you do, and you're being noticed because you're persistent, and we do have these tools that shine light on you now, and there's no need to despair, I don't think, because there's such a future ahead. You know, it's like, if the mainstream isn't doing what helps, so what?
Well, no, it's not, and I don't foresee an immediate future where we have a nurturing mainstream media. You know, it is up to us to keep the voice out there, to keep the message clear, to keep it true. You know that you know, we seek sovereignty as people. You know, and we want to be recognized as unique, diverse. But at the same time, you know, we have a voice, and we have a place in this society. And you know, we want to see a lot of changes. There's a lot of things going on here. I don't know if the people in Australia are aware of, like, you know, Enbridge, the pipelines, you know, the tar sands, the fish farming problems, you know, the murdered and missing women issues. These are all connected, and I do believe that as long as we live under the Indian Act here, that we won't receive the respect or recognition that or any of these issues deserve.
Yeah, and definitely music and creativity is part of the strength and the resiliency in the move for self-determination.
You know,
it's a key part.
Definitely. Yeah. You know, I look to, you know, you asked about influences earlier. You know, I look to musicians like Derek Miller. You know, I see a man with very powerful music who does good work in communities, who helps people, and has a very, you know, clear and distinct message about this, that we need to help each other. We need to stop looking to governments for handouts. We need to stop looking to agencies to help us all the time. They're just trying to help themselves and keep their own heads above water. As people, you know, we need to come together and help one another. You know, we need to translate that into day-to-day life, you know. And I mean, if it wasn't for people helping me in my times of need, where would I be? You know, others have said the same about me. So it all goes around and around, you know, and I think that's a very deep, fundamental belief of Indigenous people. You know, no matter where we're from or what we're doing, we put all that aside and, you know, and we're able to communicate. And the music is very strong in that, and I always say it sweetens up the medicine.
Very nice. Yeah. Well put, Rose. Yep. Well, thanks very much, guys, for chatting. This is CITR Radio. And just a quick reminder again of the gig, where and when.
June 13th,
yep.
Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We are at the Fairview Pub. Ourselves, Red Soul Blues, is going to be opening for 2012 Juno Award winner Marie Porter. We are performing as the Rez Blues Show for the Marie Porter Band.
Great.
All right.
Can't wait. This sounds wonderful. Thanks.
I'm excited.
Thank you, Sean.
No problem. Anytime.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
name's Chris Horrific.
You always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is without question the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it Monday
from 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers.
And we're back here on CITR, and that was the Red Soul Blues, who are a project here in Vancouver featuring Rose and a young guitarist of only 16 years old. And you heard her speak about the project there, and you heard a track. It's a demo. They've only been around for a matter of weeks. Motherless Child was the song, and I saw them actually open for Murray Porter here in Vancouver. Just a few weeks back. Murray Porter is actually a Juno Award winner. He's an Aboriginal art blues artist. So I'm going to play for you a track from him soon. But first up now, two-part interview here to tell in the show. Rose Henry is an extraordinary woman. She is an activist from Victoria. I sat down with her and we spoke about current issues relating to First Nations people here in Canada and her activist work. So it is an absolute honour to play this for you in two parts to end the show here on National Indigenous Day. So I'm here sitting upstairs in the Carnegie Centre in Vancouver, BC on Hastings Street, about to talk with Rose Henry, who is visiting from Victoria. She is a long-standing, hard-working activist for the Aboriginal community with a specialty on issues relating to homelessness. Rose, what can you tell us about yourself?
About who I am. I always remind people that, if we're going to make some changes, it's time to decolonize our minds and decolonize some of our actions. Like, Vancouver is in the hub of the Coast Salish territory, and so I am from Sliamon, which is about 100 miles north of here. And today, we're honoring our first people. We're honoring our first people who've had to overcome 500 years of oppression, and we're still surviving today.
That's right. And you've been working for many, many years out of Victoria. What has been the basis of your work as an activist?
There's a lot of bases. You want me to narrow down to one particular thing? I think it's poverty in general. And, over the years, I've been trying to educate people that, I, as a single Aboriginal woman, can represent many, many different people outside of the Aboriginal communities. And, I've been trying to educate people about the power of people, power of one, and one and one adds up to a lot of strength, where we can revolutionize, our communities. And, things are getting worse. Things are getting worse for a lot of people, not just the Aboriginal people, but, a lot of people in general who are feeling the economic crunch of, things that, that their mothers and their grandmothers experienced back in the 1930s. All of a sudden, that economic depression is pushing hard on us now. And so, if that's pushing hard on the middle class, then, it's almost unbearable for our First Nations people who have been under this oppression since colonization.
And especially here in remoter communities in British Columbia, I don't think people in the cities even realise what the poverty levels are there. And you've spoken to me about suicide rates and things like that.
Well, yeah, in the cities now, we all see, the state of poverty amongst, the people living in the east side of Vancouver. We hear about, the Highway of Tears from, we hear about, the amount of growing missing and murdered Aboriginal women. We hear about, the homelessness in all of our major cities. But it's our small communities that, you know, I began to take a closer look at and wondering, what are they doing? What are they doing to support their own impoverished people? And what I'm finding out is that there's a lot more people living in poverty in our remote communities, and there's a lot of people who are, you know, making the ultimate sacrifice, and that's committing suicide. And, you know, that just this year alone, in 2012, from January the 1st to the end of May, in Cowichan Valley alone, 56 people have declared, you know, that they were going to commit suicide, so they've tried to commit suicide, in addition to 6 people who have succeeded at committing suicide in the same territory that the other 56 have said, yeah, you know, we're going to do this. So, you know, here we have in this small valley, the chief of that band has declared an official state of emergency. And so it's gone national that, you know, this is happening in this community, but what has the rest of the country done to help First Nations people? Absolutely nothing. You know, we've heard of the Truth and Reconciliation. We've heard about, you know, the growing amounts of crime amongst people living in poverty. We've heard about the state of the inadequate housing in Manitoba, places without running water or without adequate drinking water. We've heard about the damage that this pipeline that is, you know, proposed to come through BC, that damage is killing a lot of people. In Alberta, there's a reserve that's about 5 kilometers away from the home base of the pipeline, and those people are now coming down with terminal illnesses that has never been detected before. And all of a sudden, you know, they're coming up with these diseases. We have the pipeline that will be crossing over 1,000 rivers through, you know, hundreds of First Nations territories, and we've got people that currently are saying no, we don't want the pipeline. At no price do we want this pipeline, because it's going to kill us. It's going to kill not only us as human beings, but it's killing the land. And the land is the last thing that we want to lose. And so all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, so let's figure out a new angle. Let's figure out a new angle to push for the pipeline to come through. And this introduces the treaties that have been, you know, in the process of being negotiated for the last 30 years. All of a sudden, some major treaties are being signed in the next few weeks, you know. It's like, okay, well, you know, there's people like me who question, who's behind the pushing of those treaties?
It's who behind closed it? Doors. It's,
yeah. So I'm wanting to know who's behind those closed doors. Who wants this to go through with the signing of treaties? And where is this pipeline going to go through? We know that we have already one oil plant here in Burnaby. Is it prepared to accept more oil spill equipment, more oil trafficking, I should say? Where's the other 2 pipelines going to go through? You know, we know one's going to China, 2 pipelines are going to the States. And what's that going to do for people living in poverty? It's going to create more poverty. It's going to create more suicides. And Aboriginal people, unfortunately, will be at the shitty end of the stick. And
every day for that minimum wage. to the same. My old lady says that I ought not to. You'll get sick if you drink that water. Where's the blues? Where's the blues? Where's the blues? Baby, where's the blues? Every kind of people got every kind of blues, but a red man's got red blues, all right.
Said to me off air, perhaps a revolution is already happening because there are things that aren't necessarily obviously seen that people are doing in a positive way, like this walk to Ottawa you mentioned.
There is so much happening behind the scenes in that around the people power, but the people power is not as strong as what I would like it to be, but I guess, you know, we still have to go through the baby steps because that power is happening right now. We have people that are walking from north to south. We have people walking east to west, west to east. We have them on the highways. We have them, you know, hopping the trains. We have people that are, you know, doing such incredible, you know, journeys around addressing the social injustice of all Canadians. You know, currently, you know, we have the people walking across to Ottawa. They left Victoria on May 1st, and they're walking to Ottawa in honor of the original trekkers who left Vancouver in 1935. Those people jumped the trains because they wanted to go to Ottawa to speak out about the inadequate pay system. So now we have the grandkids who are literally walking every step of the way to complete that journey, because in 1935 the federal government put a stop to the movement once these individuals in 1935 got to Ottawa, had all the activists arrested and sent back to the West Coast. Well, you know, now, you know, the grandkids are saying, you know, no, we're going to carry on this thing and we're going to make it to Ottawa. Yeah. So we have, you know, celebrations for the SOS trekkers who are walking the southern route of Canada, and they're going to be ending up in Ottawa probably the middle of September. That's one group of walkers. Then we have Leo Bratois and his cousin who are university students that are originally attending university in Manitoba. They left Vancouver on April the 20th, I believe it was, that they left. And they are walking to Ottawa with a copy of the Indian Act, and their proposal is that the Indian Act needs to be rewritten, if not totally abolished. Well, you know, Harper's already addressed that. He has said that in his last public debate, which happened, you know, in the early part of May, where he said the Indian Act is like a hollow tree with deep roots. It will never be abolished. Well, you know, my immediate thought is that, you know, if Harper knew anything about British Columbians in BC, we clear-cut everything, including hollow trees. So let's start with the Indian Act and rewrite that Indian Act so that it's more accommodating to today's urban settings. You know, so that's another group of walkers. They plan on meeting up with the Aboriginal people who are walking from Alaska to Ottawa, and they're meeting in Ottawa on Labor Day. And so there's a convergence happening onto Ottawa. Here we go. But, you know, it's like, we need the support. We need the community's support to come out on the highways and thank these individuals who are walking and who are saying, you know, that we're walking not just for ourselves, but for every Canadian along the way. And we need, you know, the support in different ways, you know, with the things like food and water and gas money and things like this, right? You know, we've got the people from the East Coast who are walking, you know.
And I can only imagine that, you know, the mainstream media isn't paying as much attention as it should. So fortunately, at least, you know, we have community radio like this that's able to shine light and give people a voice.
When some of my walkers asked me, you know, like, why they weren't getting the media attention, I said it's because right now you haven't broken the law. Here you have walked through the Rogers Pass. There's eight of them actually on the highway that walked through not only Rogers Pass, but they walked through every valley from Vancouver to Alberta, the most hardest, you know, highway to walk, and they're walking it without an escort vehicle because we didn't have the money to pay for an escort vehicle. But you know, they're like, okay, what about the media? Well, the mainstream media is so focused in on what's happening in Quebec that they forget to look at the rest of the country. You know, and they will look at the rest of the country the minute that a law is broken. So, in other words, you know, they're adding fuel to the fire for people who want to commit a criminal act. Well, you know, if they really want to take a look at who's committing the crimes, I think that the media needs to start paying attention to what's happening in Ottawa. You know, with that Bill 78, which is going to ban more than 50 people from gathering in one spot, it will be considered a crime. Well, you know, our walkers are building the revolution right now with every step of the way. And they're hungry, and they're cold, and they're tired, but they're doing it, so they're committed.
Well, thanks so much, Rose, for filling us in on this that's happening, because most people aren't aware. And thanks so much for your time. We will chat with you again, I'm sure. And so happy Aboriginal Day coming up as well.
Thank you. Okay. This is Gerardi O'Sullivan, and you're listening to CITR on 101.9. Thank you for joining us as we celebrate Aboriginal Day this June 21st, 2012.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Flaming Angels Boutique, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, RX Comics, Temple of the Modern Girl, and the Wallflower Modern Diner.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
June is recognized as National Aboriginal History Month and culminates on June 21st, which is National Aboriginal Day. CITR is a proud supporter of National Aboriginal History Month and is pleased to bring you special programming as well as highlights of events taking place throughout the month of June.
On Friday, June 19th, there will be a special screening of the film What I Learned in Class Today from 1 to 3 in the Fraser River Room in the Irving K. Barber Learning Center. June 21st is National Aboriginal Day. Join us at the Musqueam Community Rec Center from 11 a.m. to noon, then from noon to 5 at Trout Lake for a full day of celebration and music. June 22nd, the Waywa Library at 1985 West Mall Street will be having a special open house and cook-off starting at 11 a.m. And on June 25th, listen to CITR from 3 to 5 for music and interviews celebrating National Aboriginal History Month. And don't forget to visit the special Aboriginal community displays on show at the Irving K. Barber Learning Center all through the month of June. All this and more brought to you by CITR and the National Aboriginal UnHistory Month. For more information, visit bcnationalaboriginalday.com.
What joyous colors, what freedom. What is the joy of a childlike man? Never have I noticed a child at work expressing this sort of joy. The child is too intent on what he is doing. To absorb, to be aware of any accompanying emotion. Whatever the child does, whether expressive of fear, horror, or anguish, the effect on the spectator is one of joy. The work of a child never fails to make appeal to claim us. Because it is always honest and sincere. Always imbued with that magic certitude born of the direct, spontaneous approach. What a far cry it is from the felicitous products of the child's hand to the knowing, skillful work of an artist like Paul Klee. Who had the ability to retain us to the world of the child as well as to that of the poet, the mathematician, the poet, the mathematician, the alchemist, the seer. He learned in order to forget. He was a spiritual nomad. Some of his things are so explosive and dynamic and vital and real, don't you know? It's a real shock today to hear it. Talk, we don't hear such talk anymore, do we? We don't have such open minds either.
Welcome to another African Rhythms. I'm David Love Jones, and some guests I had on, you can check it out on the podcast at citr.ca, and that's a funk band called Deep Seated, and they're part of this Main Street Live coming up this coming Wednesday at Fortune Sound Club, so get on down there. They'll be with some other urban and funk bands, and hip hop. So it's going to be a really good showcase. Anyway, tonight, we started. That's my Henry Miller mix meets Ronnie Jordan, back from the 90s. That's a 2011 re-edit. And you can find that on AfricanRhythmsRadio.com in my literary mix section. So here it is, back to November 1997, with the ever enlightening Mike Ingram, who had his own show on CITR here in the late 90s, early last decade. He sat in and we did 30 shows together, Mike and David, from November 1997.
And welcome to another African Rhythms suite. We got to start just a little bit early this time. And once again, I'm very proud to have as my co-host, Mike Ingram. And let's just see if we can get you on mic here, Mike.
There we go. Bye, yeah. Gremlins. There we go.
You were on some other channel there for a second.
Yeah, I've been told that.
Yeah. Yeah, we all are occasionally. And we're hoping to have in the studio a mystery special guest DJ from New York, as well as local DJ Clarence. Don't know exactly what time they'll be arriving. Stay tuned for that. In the meantime, keep everybody dialed up on a beautiful array of soul music once again.
Oh, looking forward to tonight. And some good stuff here. Sam D's, you know, the more you play him, the more I like this guy. I really love the stuff that he does.
Yeah, and his record from 75, as I've said many a time, considered the Van Gogh of soul. High honor, high praise.
It's intriguing what people like. You know, I know we've talked the last couple of shows about how tastes vary, and it really comes down to what you're exposed to.
Yeah.
You know, people across the water hearing all this good stuff, it's understandable that they like it, you know, but in a lot of markets in the States, you mentioned Sam D's to some folks, and they're still scratching their heads. Who is this guy?
Exactly. This is why I'm certainly very thankful to people such as Voices and the Chicago Soul Book. I believe his name is Robert Pruder.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. There are other sources, too. Japan, there's been a lot of stuff been going on there, and I've certainly got a few lists from over that way, and I've certainly learned a lot from those guys, as well as even such magazines as Black Echoes, as it was originally called, which is a weekly soul and reggae magazine out of England, and Blues and Soul, mm-hmm. another excellent magazine. Richard Serling, in the new issue of that, which gives his top 30. I know you haven't heard that name, Mike, but he is actually one of the top British soul DJs. He's the man behind Expansion Records.
Okay.
That put out that Oasis track,
yes,
Helen Baylor.
Yes, that was beautiful.
all people around the world supporting this great soul music.
Nice to see that the branches of the soul tree are extending around the world, my brother.
Yeah, it is. A great track. We did a socially conscious hour last week, and here's yet another track I meant to bring, but I forgot at the last minute. But this is a key track from the Sam D's Show Must Go.